Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, beloved. Good morning, faith family. Good morning, all of you across the fruited plain, from the top to the bottom, all the way around the middle. We are so grateful that you are with us. My name is Greg Stevens, and I'm associate pastor here at Eagle Mountain Church, the revival capital of the world. I just had to see if they were, I saw people, I just didn't hear anything. I was just checking with them. So grateful to be here, and I am pinch hitting for Pastor Terry this morning, who is with us as well. She's here. So if she's here,
where are you?
Yeah, she just said it. Where are you? You ready? We're going to get into the word. We're looking at, I'm still focusing somewhat. I've been meditating on that word from Brother Copeland for 2019. Have you heard it? Anybody in here, you haven't heard it? Okay, a few hands. I've been meditating on it, and we're going to explore some things. One statement he said in that, other than what I talked about last week, has really stuck out to me, and I want to look at it. You ready? Father, we bless you, and we thank you, and we magnify your holy name. You are great and greatly to be praised. Oh, Lord, we lay aside everything that we came in here with. All of the pressures and the stresses and the things that were waiting for us at home. When we get home, we leave them there and we enter into your presence and into your word. Father, I ask for an anointing of the Holy Ghost, clarity of thought and purpose to be able to speak forth these things. We have ears to hear and hearts to receive, and we'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Pastor, you got anything, or at any point, at any time? Yes, ma'am. I won't mess it up. At any point, at any... She's got her mic.
I've got my mic, so I'm here. But I came, Greg, because I'm really expecting to receive.
Thank you.
And I want to hear your insights onto this word. I got something to say.
Yeah, come on up.
So I can say it from here. If you can get, do the cameras move in this place? See if they move. Look, they do. Okay. I just want to say something that my dad said to me about you. And that was, he talked about how the insight that Greg has into the scripture, and he compared how it's different, the same way Rabbi Kahn sees things into the scripture, and you look at it and go, I would have never seen that. And so it's, Brother Hagin used to say, you know, there are many sides to a mountain. And it's important that we draw from people who see it a little different. Now, the thing that's rich about that we have in Pastor Greg is that he does not ever depart from the faith perspective that we have. I mean, when I look in the scripture, that's what I see. I see faith. Brother Copeland sees faith. Well, he does not see faith. But there are some other aspects of it that he pulls together that the Lord's given him assignment for, and we need that. You need that. And my dad pointed that out. He said, there are things in that we need, and he said that 9 a.m. group is ready for it. So.
Amen. Okay. If at any point you want to jump in, it's your pulpit. You jump
Thank
in.
Thank you.
All right. There are many facets to a diamond, right? What she's talking about. And if you look at just one facet of it, you can miss out everything. But there are many facets to the goodness of God. You can hear one word. A prophet would hear a word differently than a pastor would.
That's right.
But it's the same word. You with me? This is why the gospels are the way they are. There's four different gospels, but it's filtered through the interpretation or through the upbringing of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And I focused a lot on John because I have focused my entire adult life on Jesus, learning everything I can about him, about his faith. Come on. Yeah. And about the way he did things. And so, I'm going to look at that a little bit today. I noticed something. I was studying something out, and I saw in Genesis 3, you have the first, second, and third questions ever asked of mankind. And Lucifer asked Eve, that's the first question, did God really say? And that's the exact tactic he will use on us today. He'll try to get you to doubt just a little bit, just to sow a little bit of, is it really, you know, did I hear that right? Come on, have you ever done that? And the word, did I hear that right? Am I saying that right? Am I praying that right? That's what he does. And then God came right behind it. Actually, it was the Lord Jesus, if you want to know the truth, who it was. And I could show that to you in the Hebrew. I won't do it today. But it was Jesus walking with them in the cool of the day in the garden. And what does he ask them? Anybody know? Where are you? Actually, in the Hebrew, you can translate it as this. Why are you?
Oh.
That changes it, isn't it? They hid themselves. Why are you the way you are? Did you eat of that tree? And so he's the good shepherd. He knows where they are and he's coming for them. Matter of fact, he teaches the same principle over in the Gospel of Luke when he says, how many of you, if you were a shepherd, would leave the 99 to go for the one? Well, that's exactly what he did. He left and he's leaving, going for Adam and Eve that day. Isn't that something? And he did that for us as well. So my question to you is this. Who told you? I love that. Who told you? That was the third question. That you are naked. Come on, guys. Who told you that you're sick? Who told you that your needs won't get met? Come on, I'm talking to you now as the shepherd coming to find that one sheep. Who told you that you won't have your needs met this time? Who told you you're sick? Who told you you're broke? Who told you you don't have any friends? Who told you nothing's going to change? See, once you realize, ask that question of who is the one that told me that? And then you can start developing your faith on, wait a minute, I know that voice. That's not my master's voice, right? I've noticed a trend that has had me in prayer a lot, not just with people I know, but outside. Have you ever seen that program that we have now called the Home Group, your home group on Thursdays? Any of you watch it? The number one question, or one of the questions that comes on the network, the Believer's Voice of Victory, it's Thursdays at 4:30 Eastern, I think it is. 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central. By regular, I mean it's every week something along these lines will come in. It'll say this, how, and I'm saying this in light of Brother Copeland's prophecy about outside the walls of the church, about praying and interceding for the lost. And it'll go something like this, how can I be friends or have a relationship with people that I disagree with? And it'll say, and then they'll go on to define things like, well, they live in adultery, or they drink, or they smoke, or they're gay, or they go to a church that don't believe like we believe. And that's the number one question that comes in on that program. Isn't that interesting? Do you find that interesting? I do. One person wrote in, well, Pastor George said we take a stand where alcohol is concerned. And I wanted to tell her on the television, I didn't. That doesn't mean you disown your own son. Because that's what she was going to do. She was going to cut her son off because he won't quit drinking. That's not what Pastor George said. He's talking about us and you in this class coming up to a higher level. Come on, right? It's not just there, though. Many of you on the network, you see my wife Michelle with me as we greet you, and she teaches Bible to sophomores at a Christian high school here in Fort Worth. So she's not just a pretty face. She's trained as well. She was trained as a registered dental hygienist and then went and got her bachelor's in theology after that. And every few weeks she allows her students to have what they call Free Friday. And they talk about a Bible topic and a discussion. And she just did that this last week. And this last Friday, the topic that they wanted to talk about was, do gay people go straight to hell? And so she let them talk about that. See, this generation is a little bit different than even my generation. They're very bold and they want to know the truth. I live with millennials. I have three of them in my house and their friends come over. And see, some of you are so conditioned that millennials are strange. Well, I live with them. So in some ways I understand them a little bit, and their friends will always ask questions of me. They want the truth. Here's the number one reason, because I'll ask them, well, how come you don't, I'm just not going to church anymore, or, you know, I watch on TV, or just different things, you know, that they say. And I say, why? And here's the number one, the thing they said to me, and the kids, not my kids, but their friends and stuff when they come over. I've watched you my entire life. Not me, I'm talking about us. Watched you guys my entire life, and you never can seem to keep your healing, or you never seem to get blessed prosperity. You never seem to get what you've been confessing all your life, and why would I do that, what you're doing? Come on, guys, I'm talking honest with us in the household of faith. So our children have watched us and say, you never get a breakthrough prosperity-wise, so why am I going to do that? It would be dumb to do the same thing. You guys never get healed. I want to play a clip for you. How many of you say, Pastor Greg, I'm not feeling very inspired right now? See, there must be a higher order. Point number one of his prophecy, there must be a higher order of prayer out of the family. Intercession for the lost and for the nations. And point number two was witnesses outside the walls of the church building. Then he talked about healing revivals and that they're coming back big time. I'm paraphrasing that. And we are required to walk by faith, but the focus was on his harvest, right? Let me play you, though, something that he said after that. That's where I want to go with us today in this group, because this is a special group, right? Watch this.
I'm requiring more of those of you older children in the family. I'm requiring more of you because you're older. It's time for you to help with the babies. It's time for you to see to it that the babies get an opportunity to know me, saith the Lord. I'll require it. But you will be rewarded beyond your wildest dream because you'll see miracles under your own hand. You'll see things happen that you've only dreamed about happening because the time has come. And just the way the great healing revival hit this earth in 1948, 49, 50, and it was so easy because the miracles were happening in the streets and they were happening in tents and they were happening all over this United States. Well, those days are here again. Amen. It's time for it. Yes. It's time. If you get out there where the people are, you will be shocked at how easy the miracles will come and how easy they will flow. And people that have no idea about me or anything about my word will come running to those of you that will spend time in intercessory prayer. Yes. I'm not talking about hours and hours. I'm talking about minutes a day. I'm talking about just give me time. Just give me part of your morning. Just give me part of your evening. And pray in the Spirit and intercede for the lost. And I'll see to it, saith the Lord, that 2019 is the most startling year of your life. I'll see to it that your body begins to renew and your youth begins to renew. And all of a sudden, pains and aches that have been there for years will disappear. Glory to God. When you get out and begin to minister to those that never heard about me, saith Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You call on me, and I'll call on you. Amen. And together, we'll see it come to pass. Amen. Together, we'll see it happen. Together. Together.
It's a good word, isn't it? Now, when he talked about, the point I wanted you to get was you older ones in the faith. Now, he's not talking about people with white hair necessarily. Come on, you with me? I'm pointing to myself. He's talking about mature believers here. Right?
That's right.
You can't retire in this thing. You just have to refire. There's no retirement plan in his kingdom. And in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, there's instruction here that I want us to break down and get into here in just a second. John probably knew him better than most of the disciples. He's the closest, I would say the closest of the three that were the inner circle. He's given charge over the mother of Jesus by Jesus on the cross. So he's pretty tight. And John knew him very well. John always talked about the disciple whom the Lord loved. That was John's confession over himself. That's why it's written only in John's writings. He said that over himself. I say that over myself. I always introduce myself as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be, a modern disciple of him. Study him, listen to him. And in 1 John chapter 2, we're going to break down some things, but we find some instructions to three levels of people, fathers, sons, young men, and children. And I'll break that for you down in just a second. But in John, keep your place there in 1 John chapter 2. In John 15:7, it says this, still John writing, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you." Remember that? If you remain in me, let me help you out with the book of 1 John, because it correlates with the Gospel of John. If you remain in me is John, 1 John chapter 1, right? That's if you remain in me. And my words remain in you is 1 John chapter 2. So 1 John is actually just an expansion of the Gospel of John in that regard. If you remain in me is 1 John chapter 1, and my words remain in you is 1 John chapter 2. The result is whatever you desire, you can ask whatever you desire, and your joy will remain. There's a big thing in the body of Christ right there. We're the salt of the earth, yes?
Yes.
Then why have we put everybody on a low sodium diet?
That's good.
Because we walk around with not much joy. Glory to God. Bless you, brother. Jesus loves you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How'd you like to meet Jesus today? No, my God, that's it. He's joyful. Your joy should remain. Whole nother thing. So we ask these things in John chapter 15, going on down in that, in verse 10 and 11, it says, "If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Even as I've spoken, kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've spoken these things to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." This kind of love that he's talking about in John here is the agape love. Let me help you define agape love. It is a love, matter of fact, when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" He asked him agape. And Peter said no. And then he asked him again, "Do you love me?" And he said the word agape. And Peter said no. And the third time he asked him, he used a different Greek word. "Peter, do you phileo, brotherly love me?" And Peter said, "You know that I do, yes." I respect Peter that he answered truthfully, because he wasn't able to love that way. And I'll explain it to you. Let me define agape love. It is a love based upon the character of the person loving, not the character of the person receiving the love. That'll help some of you when you ask me these questions on that home group all the time. Well, how do I interact? How do I love people? How do I love my family that's acting like this? Agape love is based upon the character within the person that's loving. So agape love is a spiritual love, and is based upon the love of the Father. You can't operate in it if you're not a believer. It's not possible. It's not humanly possible to love like that if you're not a believer. It's mighty quiet. You guys are okay? So it's not based on the character of the person that's being loved. It's based on the character of the person that's loving. And so we've got the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Now, there's an interesting part of that prophecy for 2019 that's very interesting that I showed you this morning, pointed out this morning. You older ones, right? Raise up the younger ones. It's not talking about us necessarily going in and volunteering in the nursery, which it could mean that. But that's not necessarily what it's meaning. It's meaning to mentor and lead and guide and instruct them. And I want to show you some things concerning that. Let's go now to 1 John chapter 2. It's talking about us doing the works of Jesus, right? Look at verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. I'm good with that. You good with that? Anybody happy about that one? Okay, let me find out what that is. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Do you understand? God so loved the world that he came. He didn't just love the believers. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected. Look at that. What's perfected?
The love of God.
The love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Come on, don't we confess that all the time? As he is, so are we in this world. So then that ought to be displayed outwardly to anybody that's looking at us, shouldn't it? Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. My goodness. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness as does not know where he's going. If you're walking around in the dark in an unfamiliar place, it is possible for you to smash your toe into something. Even in a familiar place, it's possible for you to smash your toe into something walking around in the darkness, isn't it? Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That's why. Let's break this down a little bit. Knowing him, as I've said before, is not being born again. Knowing him is going beyond a stage of being born again to where you know the character and the nature of your Father. You can recognize his voice in the smallest, faintest place or in the loudest place. Okay? In the churches that John is writing to, people have come in and they tried to tear the church up from the inside out. Here's a way to know them. They will always pull people to themselves and try to pull people out. Uh-oh. All right? They'll always do that. So knowing him is not just being born again. Verse 3 is showing us keeping his word is an indicator of knowing him. I'm not talking about that you can look things up in the concordance in keeping his word. That's not what I'm talking about. Not that you can quote a verse or two. But he goes on later and writes about being a doer. James writes about being a doer of the word. That you don't just talk this and look it up. You do this. All right? Verse 4, the truth is the word. The word became flesh. John described him for us in chapter 1 of the book of John, full of grace and truth. He is truth. All right? Verse 5 and 6 is about growing in the knowledge of the word. Here's the thing that we need to always keep in mind concerning ourselves here. And I'm talking to you guys that I'm looking to you to go raise up the younger ones. That's why I'm talking to you about this, because the harvest is ready. It's harvest time. The time clock is ticking. Man, I want to get into that, and I just can't. The time clock is ticking. Not just the last day of the last days, the last hours of the last day. That's where we're at. I truly believe it. And everything that I'm studying and looking at, I truly believe this. So there's positional truth for a believer. Positionally, I'm saved. I am right now seated with him in heavenly places. You agree?
Yes.
Is that with you? Yes. You are positionally, but you are the righteousness of God in Christ. But the righteousness of God in the earth still has to comb their hair and brush their teeth.
Yes.
So there's a natural side of you that you got to deal with. This is what John's talking to us about. So positionally, I am seated with him, right? I'm in Christ. That's spiritually speaking. Temporally, and Jesus said this, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. He always talked to people's spirit man to get that to come up, not to your flesh man. He talked to your spirit man. Because if I can get your spirit man to live right, your flesh man, it's not a problem. Okay? Temporal truth. I live in this body in the earth, so therefore I can be in the light or out of the light. Okay? Well, what if you got adopted by another family? You wouldn't be part of that family. No, DNA is still DNA. I have his DNA now.
Amen.
When I became a new creation. The word walk in scripture is never positional truth. It's always temporal truth. I'm walking things out because I'm in this earth. Positionally, I'm seated with him. See the difference? It's the difference between your spirit, your soul, and your body. You're seated in heavenly places. I'm not walking in heavenly places, okay? Once again, he goes on down to the next verses. Now, let me get to that part. I read all of that. Are we good there? To set you up for this. Beginning with verse 12, we have the power to live it out where people in the old covenant did not. You have the power to live this out every day where they didn't. We have the residing spirit and the power within us. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Now look at verse 12. Here he goes. I write to you little children. This really came alive to me this last week when Pastor Terry was talking to us. In the room in there, the light bulb went off. I saw it by the Spirit. I went, look at that. There it is. I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven for his namesake. I'm writing to you fathers because you've known him who is from the beginning. See the difference?
Yes.
I write to you young men because you've overcome the wicked one. And then he says again, I write to you little children because you've known the Father. I'm writing to you fathers because you've known him who is from the beginning. John does that a lot. He'll bounce back and forth like this. I've written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. You have overcome the wicked one. It's good, isn't it?
Amen.
All three are in the family. Little children. Young men, when we say men, we're not talking about just guys. You understand that? And you fathers or mothers of the faith. But all three are in the body. Look, now put that in line with what he just said. It's time for you older ones in this last hour to begin to raise up those younger ones. I'm paraphrasing what Brother Copeland said. Do you see that now? In John's instructions to us. Let me read this in the modern English version. Listen to this. I'm writing to you little children because your sins are forgiven for his namesake. I'm writing to you fathers because you've known him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men because you've overcome the evil one. I'm writing to you little children because you've known the Father. I've written to you fathers because you've known him who's from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men because you're strong and the word of God lives in you. You've overcome the evil one. Now, I went to the Greek, and Dr. Pastor Renner, if you're watching in Russia,
he is.
On these words, I'm going to do the best I can. I've studied Hebrew more than Greek, but I found it interesting that the words were different. In verse 12, little children is the word technon. It would mean all believers or all children of God, all the family. Now, that's different than children in the last one. Okay, I'll get to it. Fathers is pater. It's where we get the word paternity. Paternity. Okay. Young men, neniskos. Okay. Little children, again, at the end, is paedion. It's talking about infants here, where we get the word pediatrics. Okay. So in verse 12, what makes all children of God is that we've all been forgiven and we all love our daddy. We've all been forgiven in verse 12. But down here at the very end, it's a different one. It's the little infants, pediatrics. So we've all been forgiven. Young men, they live for fighting the enemy. See, I went to war, I mean, as much as it was in Desert Storm, I went to war as a young man. For some reason, we send the young men to fight in wars, don't we? Is that true?
Yes.
Well, we do. We do. Young men, they live to fight the enemy. They've grown a bit and they realize that their faith will work. Didn't they come to him with Jesus and say, even the devils are subject to us in your name? Remember that? They found out something. Woo, well, look at this. I've got a little fight in me. Come on. You've gotten into that stage, haven't you?
Yes.
In Scripture. I'm writing to you young men because you've overcome the evil one. You find out that he comes in one direction and he'll have to flee from you in seven. And all of a sudden, you're ready to go. But I'm going to submit something to you. That's good. But you can't live your entire existence in Christianity just fighting the devil all the time. There's another place to grow to. Now, I grew up in a denomination where that was the king, man. Boy, if you could, I'm telling you, I've been looking for the devil all week. Well, you don't have to look far. I'm taking it to him. Come on, right? He's been wearing me out this week, bless his holy name. Really? I mean, but everything was the devil. That was testimony service. There was one person that would say that all the time. Oh, brother. Like it was a badge of honor.
Yeah.
That like I'm doing something spiritually because the devil's whipping on me all week. Oh, he's been, you know, had that pain came back. Bless his holy name. That's the church I grew up in. And we were always fighting the devil, pulling down strongholds. And that's good. Church, I submit to you, there's another level. There's another level of maturity. And you need the warriors. Don't get me wrong. You need them. But the fathers in this verse is somebody that has gotten to a level that they know him. The scriptures say, oh, to know him. See, when you get to a place where you know him, there's a quiet confidence that comes with, oh, that's the enemy. Let me just deal with this. It won't take very long. And that's what he was talking about in the intercession. He said, it won't necessarily be ours. But that's coming from a person, I'm going to submit to you, Brother Copeland, knows him. Right? And there's a quiet confidence that I know how to deal with the enemy. And you deal with it, and then you get right back into that love place. You get right back into that thing that Mary and Martha, that she has sought a better thing to set at his feet. Come on now. You get right back into that place of maturity that, okay, if there's a fight that needs to happen, I'll fight the fight, and then we'll get right back into the love. Come on. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you've known him from the beginning. All right? So it's good to have the thing about us that he's under my feet. I pull down powers and principalities and strongholds and every high thing. Warfare, that's good. I'm not putting it down. Do you understand what I'm saying? I tilted some. I heard a cow or two fall over, sacred cows, and I wasn't trying to butcher any sacred cows in here this morning. I'm not. We need that. You have to do that, especially in your own family, especially women, you in your position in the house. You go back to, I read the questions to you, or quoted the questions to you a while ago, Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, gentlemen, let me help. Can I help you understand your wife real quick? There are, no guy in this room will make eye contact with me right now. Bunch of chickens. God put something in her, in Eve, and I will put enmity between your seed and him. Remember this? I'll put enmity between you and the evil one, Satan. So women have always had this thing. You have this radar in your DNA that the Lord spoke into you where the enemy is concerned. What's the number one thing, ladies, for a guy that you can't stand a guy to do in a relationship with you that you can't, that'll bang. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? I've never had a different answer. It's always a lie. Why? Because he put that in you, that the devil is a
liar
and the father of it. Gentlemen, don't lie to her and you'll be okay.
Amen. That's good.
She can't help herself. That's part of what God spoke into her. And the next thing is if you're sneaky. What, oh, did you see that? I got a reaction right here. I'm moving to a warmer place. He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. And if you act sneaky, deceptive, where you been? Oh, I don't know. Went to the church. Really? They've been out of church for about 3 hours. Well, yeah. And sneaky. But see, that's that part of that early warning radar system. That, gentlemen, if you'll learn how to use it and tap into it, she'll warn you of things that are of the enemy. How'd I get off on this? But it's part of that spiritual warfare that he put in her. I've learned to trust that. When she says, you need to be careful there. I've been praying about this and you need to, you come on now. Now, women, don't turn that on him.
Exactly.
Don't turn that on your blessed little husband. Turn it on the enemy that's behind your blessed little husband. Right? Because he tries to get you to divert it to somebody else. But we've overcome him.
Amen.
By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Right?
Yes.
And so now we're growing in this love, and you reach a place where you're a father or a mother in the faith. And now you're imparting these things into other people. Or we should be, or we better be, because that's our assignment that we were given, wasn't it? Was that our assignment? Do I need to play it again? That was our assignment. And he said the rewards, they looked at me like, don't play it again. Because the reality of it is coming upon us, isn't it? We sense it all of a sudden. We can't retire now. It's time to now pour into this next generation that should the Lord tarry, you're going to do great and mighty things for the kingdom. Woo, glory to God. About to get myself a little bit happy. The more the knowledge that I have of him develops, the more the love grows. Paul said the ultimate growth is to know him and the power of his resurrection. The ultimate goal is to know him. So when I get to that level, sure, Satan comes, but I don't spend my energy on that. I deal with that, and then I'm back to him. I have become a mentor or a coach. There are things now that, and I don't say this braggadociously, but there are things now that I have developed in spiritually that really, I'm going to be honest with you, the enemy doesn't hit me with that now. Because it's just an absolute waste of time. So I've grown to a level that that's not even a problem now. I can look at it and go, come on, is that with you? There's a place you're just like, are you serious? That? You're going to, really? Come on, devil, you're dumb. Are you with me? And I'm not glorifying him at all. I don't at all. I don't like him. Look at this in verse 15. I'm going to read a modern English. Well, let me read out New King James. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, are we talking spiritually or temporally here? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. I love that, don't you? Yeah. Let me read it. Modern English says this: do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world and its desires are passing away, but the one who does the will of God will live forever. The word love here is agape. It's that Father's love. Satan can't entice me or touch my spirit man. So he's going to hit you with the soulish man or the flesh. Let me show you verse 18 here. Let's go on to verse 18. Little children, here it is again. It is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now look at this. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. See, these are people that came into that church and tried to steal babies, the infants, away. I submit to you, we've, in too many cases, not here, but in too many cases, we've allowed that to happen. Listen to this. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Pastor George said it last Sunday. It was beautiful. Quit saying, I don't know.
That's right.
Get that out of your vocabulary.
That's right.
I do know. And I'm going to go inside to find out. Quit saying, I don't know. I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And no lie is of the truth. Isn't that beautiful? You know. But you have an anointed one, the Holy One. You know all things. Antichrist was plural in that verse. Little children here are not the little children. It's infants. It's where we get the word pediatrics. So he's warning those little children. Do you understand how many of you have been around toddlers? Your grandparent, you're around. A toddler will put anything in their mouth, a Cheerio or a bug.
Yes.
Right? They'll pick up a bug or a Cheerio. It doesn't matter. Here it goes. And that's what he's talking about in the church. That group in our church that have just been born, they will put anything in their mouth. But we're not that person, right? Judge everything by the word. These guys are not part of us, and they left. They always tell you to take others with them on their way out. That's how you can spot them. You have an anointing from the Holy One. That's the Holy Spirit. Guys, you can detect false teachers by the Holy Spirit. You detect false teaching by the word. You detect false teaching by the word. You detect false teachers by the Holy Spirit. This is why you've got to learn to use the Holy Spirit as your guide. He is your defense. Find it in the word. Pray in the spirit. Pastor Terry says it all the time. Hit it in tongues. Yes? Now, he talked about praying and interceding for the nations. He goes on, he talks about in that prophecy some things that are political. But I want to show you by precept and example, last Sunday morning on video here, where Pastor Terry stepped over into a place of prayer and she's praying for that. And then there's an admonition for us as the church. Watch this. We'll come wrap this up.
We thank you, Father, that our faith in you and your promise and your word for your will to be done is greater than all the determined willfulness, stubbornness, bitterness, anger, ungodliness that seeks to destroy this nation. No, sir, our faith in you is greater than that. We declare that all the voices and all the strife and work of the Antichrist comes to nothing in Washington, D.C. And in the great, mighty wisdom of God and His ability, let every work of the devil actually move the plan of God forward, because God is a able to make it be that way. And with everything they try to undo of your good plan, may it serve to increase your good plan in this nation. We pray that eyes be open, that hearts be open, and that this nation, Lord, be a funnel to receive the outpouring and the shtetabah, the blessing of the Lord in this nation for this last day, these last hours. No longer in the last days, but in the last hours of this age. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the awakening of the church. Wake up, church. Wake up. Thank you, Lord, that you are awakening your church, your bride, your own. Awakening, awakening the church to lift up, to raise up, and to be all that you have adorned her to be.
There it is. Wake up.
Amen.
You're asleep in the light. It's time for the fathers and the mothers to wake up and begin to mentor the next generation. It's time for us to be awake because the bridegroom is coming. Those 10 virgins ready, five of them weren't ready to go. I submit to you, they're all believers. Five weren't in faith for his return. When I return, will I find faith? Five weren't in faith because they weren't awake. They didn't have their stuff together. They weren't ready to go. They weren't looking for it. The five were. Come on, guys. And that is a prophetic prayer. Wake up, church. Wake up. Wake up. Get yourself adorned. Get yourself ready. Get out there and love people. Get out there and be the ministry. The same Greek word for the Ephesians, the different types of ministry, fivefold ministry, is the same Greek word used when Jesus saw them mending their nets. That's ministry. What we do in here is we mend your nets. For you to go out and do the work of the ministry. That's what we're doing in this service and in the next one. We're mending nets for ministry because you're the ones that are out in the marketplace. You're the ones that are out in the world. You're the fishers of men. You're the ones that are bringing them into the revival capital of the world. You're the ones that are laying hands on the sick and watching them recover. You're the ones that are walking in divine health and prosperity. You're the ones. Woo, glory to God. All I'm doing is mending your net to get ready to send you back out into the harvest tomorrow. Because the harvest begins this afternoon and tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. And that's what you're walking in. And that's what I'm looking at you at. Full-time ministers disguised as whatever it is you do in the regular world, sent into the world by the commission of the great one. Glory to God. You've been sent out there to lay hands on the sick. You've been sent out there to redeem them from hell. You've been sent out there to get them to live to a higher level and a higher plane. It's time to refire, church. Awaken, church. Awaken, 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 awaken. Stir yourself. Get yourself ready on your most holy faith. That's who you are. Who said you're not healed? Who said you're not a minister? That's the question I started with. Who said you're not prosperous? Well, they're a liar. And the truth's not in them. So I hid it with the word and I hid it in the spirit. You see that? There's absolutely nothing or no one that can stop you from your divine appointed purpose and the reason that God has you here and God has you where you're at right now. There's no reason, there's no nothing that can stop you other than you. And we're not going to do that to ourselves anymore, right? And we're not going to shoot our wounded and we're not going to cast any aside. We're going to rise up as the body in this last day. You agree?
Amen.
Stand with me if you would. Father, we bless you and we thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, church, you awake? Let's awaken. Who told you you're not a blessing? Who told you you're not healed? Who told you you're not prosperous? Come on, confess it over yourself. I am prospered. I am blessed. I am healed. I am in the ministry. Glory to God. Get ready, Brother Jerry's coming up right after this. Take a break.